Now, today should be an important day in the relationships of all mothers and their children. But as you will probably have seen in the news, for one family, it's perhaps even much more significant than that. Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe faces court again today with a decision on her release or otherwise imminent. Now, her daughter, Gabriella, was only a baby when Nazanin was detained in Iran 5 years ago now. The daughter and the father, Daniel, continue to wait for her to come home. So we pray for them. We pray for her safe return. Now, you can't imagine what that family has been through these last few years. At times, they've been able to see each other and speak over online and through video links. But for large periods of time, they've suffered complete separation as Nazanin has endured torture and abuse. Now, the Bible speaks about the experience of God's people as being that of strangers in a foreign land, suffering while we wait to be taken home, waiting for justice to be done, waiting to be permanently united with the God who loves us so much. Now, I just wonder whether we are looking forward to that day as much as Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe is undoubtedly looking forward to the day when she is brought home. Because we should be. And this passage that we've just read together, it speaks of this period of waiting. Waiting for the day that was referred to there in verse 27, when the Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and with great glory. Now, that's the day when the living Lord Jesus will return to this world, not like last time as a helpless baby, but as the final judge and ruler of all. Now, these last few weeks, if you've been with us, you'll know that we've been searching the Bible for clues that may help us to understand what purpose, if any, God might have in allowing this pandemic, this coronavirus that we've all been going through. As I said, this Sunday last year was the last time that we were able to get together in the building here before the first lockdown was announced. Now, several of us were taken ill in that following week, in those following days, and at least a couple were left seriously ill in hospital. I don't think I need to remind you of the numerous other challenges that we've all faced to continue to face over these last 12 months. The Bible assures us that nothing happens by accident. In fact, it tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Things that we like and things that we don't like so much, they all work together for the good of those whose trust is in the Lord Jesus. And that means that somehow even COVID-19 has a purpose in God's plans for his world. So this morning, I'm going to suggest that pandemics are a sign of the end times. Coronavirus is a sign that Jesus' victorious return is definitely going to happen, and that it might not be far away. It is a sign of the times. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with that phrase. You could say that the massive demand for food banks in this last year has been a sign of these times. Or for those who've been around a few more years, rations, perhaps after the Great War, were a sign of those times. Pandemics are a sign of the end times. Now, how do we know that? Well, let's have a look at these words that Jesus himself spoke. He was in Jerusalem, preaching near the temple, just a day or two before he would be betrayed and handed over to those that were going to crucify him. And we'll be reflecting on Jesus' death and resurrection in the coming weeks as we approach Easter. Well, just as you can imagine tourists admiring the architecture on St. Paul's Cathedral, these disciples, we read here in verse 5, were remarking on how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. And Jesus interrupts their conversation and says, "It won't be long before this temple will be destroyed, you know." And then for the rest of this passage, we have to remember that Jesus is talking about two different events at different times. So for example, in verses 20 to 24, they are about the literal fall of Jerusalem. And that happened about 40 years afterwards in AD 70. If you were to look up, for example, Siege of Jerusalem in Wikipedia, you'll see that it was exactly as Jesus predicted. The city, the temple, the people, they were brutally destroyed by the Romans. And what Jesus said about the temple not having one stone left upon another was exactly what happened, bar the Wailing Wall, which is the only kind of remnant of that original temple. But in most of these other verses here, Jesus is talking about another event, a more distant event, the final destruction of the whole world, the day when the kingdom of God finally arrives, the day when justice is finally done, when peace will finally break out, the time when the Son of Man returns in all his glory. And it's in these verses that we see the prophecy of various different events that will signal that the end is coming. So from verse 9, let's read it again. "When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven." So if you want to know whether Jesus is about to return, let's do a quick checklist, shall we? So nation rising against nation. Well, we've been praying already about this. No shortages of war and conflict across the world. I think we can safely tick that box. What about earthquakes? Well, I printed this map on Friday, and it shows all the recent earthquakes. They're the little spots, if you can see them on this map here. All the little recent earthquakes across the whole world. And when I first saw it, I assumed, well, this must be just in the last few years. But no, these are the earthquakes that have been recorded in the previous 24 hours. Now, you might not call many of these great earthquakes, but of course, we've all heard of much more significant earthquakes that have destroyed towns and villages and taken away many lives. I think we can tick that box too. What about famines? Well, listen here to a quote from Oxfam, the international aid charity. They said recently, "Today, the world stands on the brink of unprecedented famines. About 30 million people are experiencing alarming hunger, severe levels of food insecurity and malnutrition in northeastern Nigeria, South Sudan, Somalia, and Yemen. 10 million of them are facing emergency and famine conditions." The evidence of famine in this world is sadly very clear. But what about pestilences then? Well, it's a slightly kind of strange word, really. We don't use that word very often these days. So I looked up a definition in the Cambridge Dictionary. Here you go. "Any very serious infectious disease that spreads quickly and kills large numbers of people." Now, sadly, COVID-19 has taken the lives of more than 125,000 people in the UK alone, and more than 2.5 million now across the whole world. It is hugely infectious. It's spread across the planet in a matter of weeks. It's killed large numbers of people. Jesus said there will be fearful events and great signs from heaven. And it is very difficult to argue that this pandemic is not such a thing. Now, I'm not saying that this means that the end is going to come immediately, this month, or this year, or even this century. We don't know those things. Jesus himself said, didn't he, that he would come at a time when we're least expecting it, like a thief in the night. So we must be very careful not to listen to people who predict the exact timing of Jesus' return. Because all of them, of course, so far have been wrong. But could Jesus return today? Could he return this week? Could he return this year? Well, absolutely he could. All of these things that he said would happen first, well, they definitely happened. None of us could say if Jesus were to return this afternoon, this morning even, but you said this or that was going to happen before you came. None of us could say that. Jesus will return. We can be absolutely sure of that. Heaven and earth will pass away, we've just read, but my words will never pass away. And the fact that Jerusalem was destroyed just as Jesus said, well, that is proof enough that his prediction of the end of the world will come as well. He told this parable we've read, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near." COVID-19 is a sign, one of many signs, that we're living in the end times. Jesus could return in judgment at any moment. And when I see the evidence of climate change, for example, you begin to wonder whether it might not be very far away. And that means that we should listen very carefully to what Jesus said next. Be always on the watch and pray. Verse 36, that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Be always on your watch. Be careful, we've read in verse 34 there, stand firm, verse 19 says. And that was the message to Jesus' disciples then, and it's the big message for all of us today. We must be on our watch. Now, being caught out is never very nice, whether it's somebody jumping out at you from behind a wall or something, or, I don't know, missing a flight where you've forgotten to bring your passport, or not being able to answer questions in an exam because perhaps you failed to revise properly. Jesus says that we are to be on our watch so that we do not get caught out when he returns. Now, he talked about this kind of thing a lot. It's certainly not just in this passage or at this particular moment in time. If you were to look in Matthew 25, just for an example, there are three different examples. He talks there about the five wise and the five foolish women. There was the bags of gold that some invested well and some failed to. There's the sheep and the goats. All of those stories are about the need that Jesus was pressing upon the people in that day to be ready when he returns. And here in verse 34, he warns, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. Now, the example there of drunkenness is a very kind of vivid, literal illustration. You lose all sense of reality. You become out of control. You're not ready for anything. And if you are wondering, yes, I confess I have a little past experience of this. But being weighed down by anxieties of life, well, that's a bit more subtle. That's talking about focusing too much on the here and the now, worrying too much about the day the sort of day-to-day issues, which seem so important at the time. But of course, when you look back, even if you look back a day or two or a week or so, sometimes you can see very quickly how trivial those things were. Remember Martha and what she was told when she criticized her sister for sitting at Jesus' feet while she was busy with all the work. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, it wasn't that Martha was doing anything wrong. It's just that her priorities were out of sync. Her focus wasn't on Jesus. So we all need to be on our guards. We need to be watchful. We need to be always ready, not holding on to the things of this world so tightly that we're not ready to let go when Jesus comes to take us home. Now, some of us in the last few days will have watched the funeral service of Dave Hughes with our friends from Oak Hall. Despite the sadness of his unexpected death, there was a real spirit of thanksgiving there for a man who'd lived his life very close to the Lord and through Christ in him had been such a blessing to so many for so long. Now, I didn't know Dave especially well myself, but whenever we met, he always would ask how things are here and how I was doing personally. And what was clear to me, and of course to those that knew him far better than I did, was that he was someone who was ready to meet Jesus. We all need to be ready. Because in verse 35 it says that for it, that's the last day, it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. And that's all of us, by the way. That day when Jesus returns, it will come to every one of us, whether we're still alive at the time or whether we've already died. It doesn't matter, because the Bible says on that day all will be raised. Those who are ready for Jesus will be welcomed into eternal glory. But those who are still against him will be shut out, condemned to eternal death. It is that critical. These are the most important things. So as we come towards a close, let me ask the question, are you ready? Have you repented of your rebellion towards God? Is your faith in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and only in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Are you looking forward to meeting him? Is that where your focus is? Or are you consumed by the things of this life? Pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. And not only you, let's pray that others will be able to escape all that's about to happen and that they may be able to stand before the Son of Man. As we've already seen, these next couple of weeks provide many opportunities to invite other people that we know and love, those perhaps that we know are not yet ready to meet the Lord Jesus. We can invite them to come virtually to an event where they will meet other Christians, events where they will hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus. Now, I know that it can be so easy not to bother. We can say, well, there's plenty of time. Or we might be thinking, well, I need to do this or that first. Or I just need to get through the next few weeks. Maybe I'll begin to look into those relationships after lockdown is over. Is it really that urgent? After all, I mean, 2,000 years have passed, haven't they, since Jesus said these things? And think about all the wars and the earthquakes and the famines and the pandemics that have happened during that time. Why should I be particularly worried now? Well, let me answer those questions by quoting Peter. He was one of Jesus' disciples who heard him say these words that very day. Well, he wrote, later went on to write these words, which I'll leave with you. He said, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God is very patient. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Well, let's just take a moment in the quietness, wherever you are this morning, to just consider, to reflect on those things, and perhaps consider where you are personally, whether you are ready, whether I am ready for his return. Let's take a few moments. Well, if anything that's been said this morning has concerned you, or something that you want to take further, or perhaps you're not even sure whether you're ready, do get in touch through the website. Get in touch with us. We'd love to have that conversation and to point you towards the Lord Jesus.